Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations on all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Yes, alleluia. Praise be to God. This word is the triumphant acclamation of the Christian church on this day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Laid in a freshly cut tomb out of rock, the bruised and battered Jesus had been wrapped in a linen cloth and sealed in his tomb by a great stone. To all appearances, it seemed as if all was lost, but such was not the case. Death could not hold our Savior in the grave. The tomb could not hold our everlasting Savior from rising again. Jesus would rise from the dead, and in doing so, bear witness to the world his victory over the power of sin and the power of death. This is cause for us, his people, to say hallelujah. Praise be to God for rising from the dead in order to show the world that indeed he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Now, as we sing praises to God for his victorious work in Jesus Christ, in the gospel reading today, that as the women are heading towards the tomb, we find no such acclamations. In these 8 verses in chapter 16 of Mark's gospel, we see no hallelujahs and no songs of praise coming from these women as they are headed towards the tomb. Why? Because they expected something different. They were expecting to find a body, a cold, lifeless corpse of the person they had followed throughout his earthly ministry. They wanted to anoint his body with spices that they had bought, and they were not expecting to find the stone rolled away and the spot bare where the bloody body of Jesus had been laid a short time before. It is a little surprise, then, that they become alarmed over what they are seeing when they arrive on the scene. Fear and trembling seizes them at the words of the angel, for this is not what they expected to find. Here it is, sunrise morning, the first day of the week after the Sabbath, when these women show up and they find the tomb miraculously empty. The body of Jesus is gone. Think for a moment about the events surrounding the resurrection. It had just been the Friday before, Good Friday, as the church calls it, when Jesus was hanging on a cross, bleeding, dead, only to have a spear thrust into his side just to make sure the gruesome deed was complete. The last thing these women remember concerning their Lord Jesus is death. It's hard to think about a resurrection when all you see is death. These women, these faithful women, had forgotten their Lord's promise to rise from the dead when the last image they had burned into their mind was of their Lord hanging lifeless as a corpse on a Roman cross. It's hard to think about resurrection when all you see is death. It's hard to believe in victory when we get such a heavy dose of defeat. Just this last week, tornadoes ravaged the homes of many in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There were injuries, great fear, and now the daunting task of rebuilding what was lost in the blink of an eye. It's hard to think about the resurrection of a body when our bodies are aging with every passing day. Routine activities become a challenge. Those doctor visits that used to happen every now and again are now a routine part of everyday life. It's hard to think about a resurrection of the body when you have seen somebody with your own eyes waste away before you from sickness and disease. Battles with cancer can take a very, very long time. And as you know, people of God, the cancer victim in this world does not always win. In this fallen world filled with life that we always see is decaying and dying, believing in a resurrection from the dead, a life without suffering, without affliction, a life without all causes of death is difficult to do. After seeing their Lord hang as a lifeless body on a cross, it is little surprise to us sinners as to why these women show up expecting to find only the body of their Lord. The serpent and our sinful nature brings upon us all sorts of afflictions, sufferings, sins, and temptations that want us to stay in grief, that want us to stay in despair instead of listening to and believing the proclamation of our Lord, who tells us he is risen from the dead, he has conquered the power of sin, death, and the devil, and now as he lives, you live also. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There you go. Alleluia. Yes, that is the word we are proclaiming as God's church. Now, some of you have some doubts of the resurrection of the body. This biblical truth that a dead body can rise again by God's power alone. Keep in mind that Jesus did not resurrect and show himself before his tightly knit band of disciples. Jesus did not show himself only to a handful of women. The scriptures, brothers and sisters, give us much more than that. The scriptures say in today's epistle reading that Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Not 12, not 20, not 50, but over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Nobody makes a claim like that unless the event is true. The more people you include in an event, the easier it becomes to verify such an event. It's as if Paul was saying, the people who saw Jesus resurrected are still alive. Go track them down. Go ask them. They'll verify what I am saying. Now, for the Christian, the resurrection means a number of things. The resurrection of Jesus means that all of his prophecies foretelling the world that indeed he would rise from the dead have been fulfilled. The moment the Son of God walks out of the tomb in the flesh, he is declaring unto the world that indeed this Jesus of Nazareth is the true Son of God, who has authority over sin and even death itself. The resurrection of Jesus also shows us that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was accepted by the Father. In other words, it worked. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his shedding of his blood to atone for sins, has done just that. It has atoned for the sins of creation and appeased the wrath of God the Father forever for those sins. The resurrection of Jesus shows us that Jesus did not remain the cursed dead sinner on the cross, but he has risen from the dead, he has been exalted, and he has destroyed, brothers and sisters, all causes of death. In him there is life that not even death can take away. In the resurrection of Jesus, we see God's absolution on the sins of the world. We see God in the flesh arise and walk out of the tomb, and hear God's declaration to us that in him, in his only begotten Son, there is forgiveness and there is life, eternal life, that not even death can take away. All this is yours. All of these gifts are yours, Christian. By faith in your Lord's Savior, his life is your life. As he lives, you live. As he has risen from the dead, you too have to look forward to a resurrected body, free from the corruption of sin, free from affliction, free from suffering, free from the fear of death. A, quote, resurrection like his to look forward to, that is yours by faith in your Savior. God declares this to us in his word when he says, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Romans 6, verse 5. Christians, please hear me on this joyful day. You are not isolated from this event. Do not think, Christian, you are not a partaker of this gift. By faith in your glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he has risen from the dead, you too will rise from the dead and wear, as the scriptures say, an imperishable body. In the resurrected body of Jesus, we see that all causes of death have been destroyed. This means that the imperishable resurrected body that God promises you by faith in Christ will never taste death, will never suffer the causes of death. Realize what this means, friends. This means no more cancer. This means no more Alzheimer's. This means no more degenerative knee pain. This means no more broken backs, crooked bones, broken bones, blood seizures, clots, brain tumors, heart disease, heart attacks, fear, depression, worry, suffering, even death. All of it has been destroyed at the work of Jesus' cross, now confirmed to us in his glorious resurrection from the dead. His exit from that stone vault testifies to the world that death has been swallowed up in victory. Cancer has been swallowed up in victory. Sickness has been swallowed up in victory. Death is destroyed by the work of Jesus. And it is yours, friends. It is yours only by the cherished gift of faith in your victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus. As Holy Week draws to a close, and these Easter promises sink further and further into the back of our minds, as you leave here and begin working again, getting back to the routine, as you face the various trials and tribulations this world has to throw at you, as you suffer with your sin, as you wrestle with temptations and addictions while wondering, when will this ever end? Friends, there is another message for you embedded in the Easter story. And that message is this. Already, Christian, you have been raised from the dead. Already, you have been brought to life by faith in Jesus. Does that mean as soon as you walk out of the door, all of your pains, all your afflictions, all your suffering is going to go away? Not necessarily. The death I'm talking about is the one who is alive in the flesh, but dead because of their sins, dead because of their trespasses. For the Christian, it's a different story. For the Christian, friends, the life you now live, you live in Christ, who has defeated all of your sins at his cross. You live because he lives, both here now in time as one forgiven, and you will live for all eternity, God's promise to you, yours by faith. Again, we hear this from God's holy word, who says unto us, in Christ you have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. That's Colossians 2, 11 through 13. Friends, through faith, you were, notice the past tense, you were raised with him. You are not dead in your sins right now. Rather, you have been raised with Christ by faith in your Savior. In him, your sins have been put to death by the death of Jesus on the cross, gloriously confirmed to us as he walks out of that tomb in the flesh, boldly declaring unto the world his victory over sin, his victory over death. As he lives, friends, you live also. Because your sins have been atoned for by the blood of Jesus, you can approach death confidently, knowing that when you die, you have eternal life to look forward to. As Jesus has conquered the grave, he now promises all of his children, they too will be conquerors of the grave on account of the work he has done. And all of this is yours, friends, by God's grace, through faith in his work, not ours. With triumphant voices, let us continue to say, hallelujah. Praise be to God for overcoming sin, overcoming death, and graciously giving us sinners right now victory. A victory we have done nothing to achieve ourselves, but a victory, friends, that is yours freely by faith in the one who has overcome it all, our Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.